But I thought the Ravens took a big step last year by winning a playoff game. So, like, that was getting over that hump. Now it changes. Now it's, can you get to a Super Bowl? Can you win a Super Bowl? Of course.
I think the most likely scenario here would probably be offensive line again. Yeah, I agree with it. It could be an Illuminor-esque move.
This is the first. This is a momentous occasion on the lounge. This is as close as make has come, even though I'm not conceding.
Welcome into the lounge. The cookouts are over. Well, that's not true. I mean, let's be honest. All summer is cookout season. It's not just for 4th of July. But we're going to get into who won the cookout draft. Spoiler alert, it's me.
I've got a different interpretation, but yeah, we're gonna talk about that.
We're gonna talk about that, but more importantly, we're gonna answer more questions, because I'll tell you what, Garrett, our call for questions to the lounge at ravens.nfl.net, the mailbag is overflowing. I'm telling you, it's my inbox is clogged.
I know,
we've gotten so many emails, so we have a lot of questions to answer.
Well, you know what else is part of it is we said if people sent in their questions and we read their email on the air that we would send them t-shirts. So
have you sent them?
Well, here, as you can see, one of us is doing the work. We've got all these t-shirts lined up. I'm basically an Amazon shipping service over here. So for those of you who are going to get your shirts, you have me to thank, because Mink doesn't do that work. Mink's not involved.
That's true. Don't send out too many of them. I saved some for Christmas gifts for my family. I'm going to send them all out. Come on now. You know how I roll.
You got to come in and actually send some shirts. So for those of you who send an email after this episode, if you don't get the shirt, that's because Mink's not following through. There's got to be follow through. You got to email him back. You got to get the address. You got to get a little set up here. It's a full blown operation. I'm a logistics guy.
This is your penalty. This is your job since you lost the cookout draft.
No, there's lots of feedback rolling in about how it's another victory for me. Lots of feedback.
You got one email from
lots of feedback rolling in about how it's another victory for me. So,
all right, let's jump into it.
Yeah. So we really do have a lot of emails. Do you want to start with football stuff, or you want to start with?
Let's start with football stuff. Yeah. Not the cookout right now.
All right. So let's get into some of the emails. We'll hold off on the cookout discussion. All right. There's a lot of emails about that, but we're going to start with some football stuff first. So the first question that we're going to read comes from Chris Wells. Chris writes, "Hope you guys are having a great summer and enjoying the break before training camp." He wrote that going to training camp is one of his favorite things to do. So he has July 15th at 11 a.m. Mm-hmm. saved on his phone to jump online and grab a parking pass. He's stoked to be back at the castle. That's a little reminder. You know, those spots are going to go quickly. So just for fans, if you want to come out and see the team at the Under Armour Performance Center in training camp, you can do it Thursday, July 15th at 11 a.m. Get on our website, and we'll have parking passes that come available. Or you can use the mobile app and to claim a parking pass. And so we're going to have these open practices. About 1,000 fans per day are going to be at the facility. So get online, get a parking pass, come out here to training camp. And if you aren't one of the lucky ones who gets to come out here to training camp, there will still be a free open practice at M&T Bank Stadium on July 31st. So either way, you're going to be able to see the team this summer, which, before we get into his question, I'm pumped about. I mean, I really am excited to have fans back. Like, there's just a different level of energy when you have fans here watching practice. It feels more real than just, like, I don't know, kids out there playing in the backyard.
Oh, for sure. I mean, the whole season's going to be 20 times better.
Yeah.
It was very weird last year, so pumped that we're returning to normalcy
for sure. So thank you, Chris, for that reminder there. All right, the question that he says is, I want to get your opinion on something I've been thinking about leading up to training camp. One of the things I've heard here on the podcast, and what Harbs has said multiple times this offseason, is that there's a ton of depth, and when it comes time for cut day, some really good players are going to get cut because there's only so many spots on the roster. It reminds me of when we traded Jermaine Illuminor a few years ago and a 6th-round pick to the Patriots for a 4th-round pick just ahead of cut day. Do you think there are any depth pieces this year that could get traded for a draft pick to maybe make some room instead of cutting a good player? So he points out maybe...
That's a good question.
It is a really good question. Some names that he throws out would be Ben Powers, Miles Boykin, Anthony Averett, and then he threw out the idea of whoever Luke comes in as the third quarterback. Huntley.
I don't think the Ravens are going to trade Anthony Averett. You know, they always believe you can't have enough corners.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think Averett's someone
that would have to be a rich deal. Like, you'd have to get like a second round pick or something.
Oh, you're not going to get a second round pick for him.
Exactly. So I don't think they're going to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, Averett was what, a
fourth rounder?
Fourth. And he's played well. I mean, I really do believe that Anthony Averett could be a starter on a lot of other teams.
Yeah.
And
when he's played, he's been injured. He got injured last year, but you know, after he came up, he got injured. But I like Averett.
Yeah. Anyway, I think the most likely scenario here would probably be offensive line again. Yeah, I agree with it. It could be an Illuminor-esque move because you do have some young pieces in there that don't necessarily have a path to a starting job. I mean, because let's just say Ben Cleveland were to win the left guard job. Well, you also have Ben Bredesen who can back him up, or Ben Powers, right? So you have double Bens. Which Ben do you want to keep, and is one expendable at that point? Because you have McCary who can play any of the positions, right? So he has a lot of value there. And then you have Tyree Phillips. Mm-hmm. So between Ben Bredesen, Ben Powers, Tyree Phillips, and Patrick McCary, and you have Tristan Colon, who can also play center, like that's a lot of interior guys who are good players. And Ben Powers, you know, showed what he can do last year. That experience, starter experience, playoff experience is valuable, would be valuable to somebody else who's looking for a plug and play guy potentially at the last minute. So, you know, I think if Powers weren't to win the starting job and the Ravens feel comfortable with Ben Bredesen being a backup at left guard / right guard, or McCary being a backup there, then sure. Yeah. I think they could potentially make a deal for an offensive lineman.
Yeah. The other options that Chris threw out here in his email, one was Tyler Huntley or Trace McSorley. I don't see that as likely.
Generally like the quarterbacks in their system. You know, somebody they drafted, they've groomed in their system.
Right.
Yeah. If you're going to trade for somebody else's quarterback, you want to do that for, like, generally that's for a veteran who you've seen them play in a bunch of games. You know exactly what they are.
Yeah.
There's no question. You know that you can plug them in if you need to. Like, there's no questions. Trace and Tyler aren't those guys.
Yeah. Like, there was dozens of questions every year around this time about RG3 and whether he would get traded. And, mm-hmm. you know, maybe the Ravens would have done it if they had a deal that they felt like was justified it. right. And that never happened. So for Tyler and Trace, I don't really see that. I also still think that there's a potential avenue that one of those guys ends up on the practice squad, especially if there's the flexibility like they had last year to protect and bring guys up on a weekly basis. So I don't see it with the quarterback. You know, Boykin is somebody who's I've heard this kind of floated out there from media members. If you go through the receiver competition, and it's going to be tight. I mean, I kind of look at it as, is Boykin competing with James Prochet likely for that last spot there? If you go through it real quick, you have Watkins, Hollywood, Duvernay, the two rookies, and then you've got Prochet and Boykin competing for that, along with a couple of other guys.
Deion Kane.
Yeah, Deion Kane. So could Boykin, a former third-round pick, be somebody that you trade? Maybe. Maybe. But I don't know, like, I don't think that that's a guarantee. Like, I don't think that there's – what you always run up against in that scenario is if you're going to say the Ravens were going to move on from Boykin. Like, the market is typically not great for those guys because everyone knows you're going to cut him. Now, of course, you can go out there. Other teams don't want to chance losing him. So maybe there's somebody who says, this is a guy with great size, speed, and tangibles, can play special teams, has started a bunch of games over the past 2 years. Mm-hmm. And we think
I'll give you a sixth or conditional sixth or seventh.
Because you get a sixth or seventh.
Like,
maybe.
Right.
Maybe you could.
Maybe conditional.
Great. Conditional. Right. Maybe you could. Maybe you could.
Yeah.
But you're not getting, like, that's the thing I always like. You're not getting a third. Well, we drafted him for a third round pick. We're going to trade him for a third round pick. That's not the way it works. It's kind of like driving the car off the lot. As soon as you do, it's tough to get that same value back. Like, that's kind of how it goes. So I don't think that you're going to get as much as people may think.
Yeah. Yeah. I completely agree. I mean, the thing with Boykin is you know, I mean, he's shown himself in the red zone. We've all talked about his blocking. You know, he's looked good this summer. You like, I've said, I'm not ready to throw in the towel on Boykin. The guy's too talented. I think he's got a good head on his shoulders. I think that he can make strides and improve. Is he ever going to be a big time, you know, 1,000 yard, whatever, 800 yard, 700 yard guy? I don't know, you know, but I think that he's a valuable player who fills a need. You know, he has a niche. And if the Ravens were to sustain an injury, let's just say to Sammy Watkins, you know, who's certainly had his fair share, well, Boykin might be the guy that would step back into that outside role.
Yeah.
You know, so if you trade him, now are you a little bit thin, you know, on that kind of outside bigger body guy? Potentially.
Yeah, I think it's a good point. And he was quiet. Like, I don't feel like there's a ton of talk about him because there's new weapons and we were all kind of enamored mm-hmm. with the new toys during the offseason. But Boykin made some plays. I thought he looked pretty good, and so I'm with you. I don't necessarily think it's by no means a foregone conclusion that he's not going to be on the team. I think he has a mm-hmm. pretty good shot to be on the team this year. So,
I mean, I wonder if it comes down to it, could Prochet potentially be P squad, you know?
Yeah, he was a six-round pick. Right. He was a six-round pick, so that's a good point. All right, here's another question. This one comes to us from Will Saunders. And Will writes, would you please provide some information about bubble guys? You know, I don't know if Will listened recently, but we did talk about bubble players and how it's sometimes challenging because you got to keep them a secret. You know, if a guy's on the bubble and we're out here trying to, you know, talk him up, the other teams are going to listen to the lounge and say we want to trade for this guy or we got to try to get this guy. Keep him from going to the practice squad. But he does break down, ask about a couple specific guys. Amon Marshall is one he asked about. You know, Amon Marshall hasn't been on the field, you know, basically in 2 years. He's dealt with injuries. So before mm-hmm. we make any sort of, like, assessment of Amon Marshall, I think he's got to get back on the field. And
I think that there's other young, good corners who have kind of emerged, you know, while he's been out. You know, I mean, I'm more interested. Khalil Dorsey has mm-hmm. practiced pretty darn well. You know, Devontae Harris is a veteran special teams guy who they re-signed to a one-year deal. He had some good practices this summer. Chris Westry, you know, 6'4", 200-pound undrafted guy out of Kentucky. I thought at times he made some plays. So the tough part is it's not only that Iman would need to get back on the field, but now he's got to beat out some other guys who are also on that bubble. So be tough.
Yeah. He also asked about Broderick Washington. You have an aging D line. Broderick was a young player. Could he, you know, what do you think he has a chance to stick is what Will asked.
Oh, I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, the Ravens didn't draft another defensive lineman this year. So certainly.
Yep.
And then he has to earn it. But I think he's in fine position to do so.
And then the last specific guy that he and we're going to talk a lot about bubble players, honestly, between now and cut down day. But he asked about Ben Mason. And Mason is one of the intriguing players to me in training camp because, like, for this year, it doesn't seem like there's a need for him necessarily. The Ravens have Patrick Ricard. They have, unless you were to keep him as your third tight end, but there's a tight competition there. I mean, he's right. And he's also that's a position change, you know, from what he's done in college. He's been a fullback right. in college.
Guy's caught like four passes.
Right. So could you keep him as your third tight end, which means that he would beat out Eli Wolf or Eric Tomlinson?
And then you just have a – oh, man. I will say, if you do keep him as your third tight end and you just say, well, we have the wide receivers to throw the ball to. We're not really going to throw the ball. We have Mark Andrews, mm-hmm. right? Target that guy 500 times this year.
Yeah.
You know, you don't need to throw the ball to the third tight end, but we're just going to use this guy as another battering ram.
Yeah.
And we're going to just roll out there sometimes and just whoop your butt with a bunch of tough dudes. I don't hate that idea. I'm interested to see what he looks like with the pads on.
Yeah.
Because it's very different. Ben Mason isn't the shorts and shells kind of guy.
Yeah.
He's the pads, smacky in the mouth kind of guy. So I'll be interested.
And it can be like he's a different type of player than Kyle Juszczyk, but we've told the story before on the podcast. Like making that transition from college fullback to NFL fullback where you're like
right.
a battering.
Expecting that to come out and kick butt.
It is a tough transition. And Juszczyk, who has been a multi-time Pro Bowler and is the highest paid fullback in the game, did not look good his first week of training camp. He did not look good.
He's all lunch handed to him.
Yeah. And the Ravens called Vontae Leach after that first week in the pads, and he was back here on Monday. And
well, here's what it was. We'll tell the story real quick. We'll have to tag Juszczyk with this on Twitter. Juszczyk comes in, first padded practice. They're like, we're running goal line. It's fourth and goal on the one, right? Juszczyk, you're in. And time and time again, they just run it again, again, again. And Juszczyk's just, I mean, it was just straight ahead dives, like four or five straight of those. And Juszczyk comes out, and I go to interview him afterwards about the experience. Dude's got like scratch marks. Like, it looks like he just ran through like
a thorn bush,
a forest full of, yeah, brambles. I was like, oh my God. He was like, yeah, tomorrow is not going to feel good. And then, I'm surprised the guy still had a head.
Yeah. And then the Ravens had Vontae Leach back here a couple days later. So
yeah, when they didn't score on any of them, they were like, we're calling Vontae.
Yeah. I kind of remember Suggs yelling over to Ozzy and saying, hey, Ozzy, get Vontae on the horn. And he did.
Exactly.
He did. Okay, so we say that, but Juszczyk's been one of the best fullbacks.
I mean, Juszczyk's been great, right,
in the NFL over the course
now,
of his
I don't know that maybe Ben Mason could be Juszczyk, but I don't think he's quite got that. You know,
no, yeah, different
in
player.
College was like a receiver.
Different player.
Basically.
Different player, for sure. Yeah. I'm just trying to use that to illustrate the challenge that it can be for a player at that position to make the jump to the NFL. So yes. I'm with you. You got to see him in the pads. But that is just something that I'm curious about because, like, a lot of teams don't keep any fullbacks. Now, the Ravens run a different offense than every other team in the league. But the idea of keeping two fullbacks and three tight ends, that would be a little surprising. So I think the jury is certainly still out on what happens with Ben Mason. All right, let's do one more fan question before we start talking barbecue draft, which that's what most of the emails are about. Very little actual football conversation.
That's kind of the way we like it.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so this email, it's from Elliot, and he starts with the barbecue stuff. We'll get to that in a second. But he does ask a question about just kind of big picture look at this team. What do the Ravens need to do to get over the hump? And what differentiates a great team that wins from a great team that doesn't? He says that the window is slowly closing for his soccer team without any major championships in hand. So he worries that could happen with the Ravens. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. I'm not a big believer in the, it takes something different to win in the playoffs. I think a good team in the regular season is a good team in the playoffs. I just don't think that there's a special sauce when it comes to winning in the playoffs. Kind of like I thought that the Eagles getting rid of Andy Reid when he went to the NFC Championship every single year was dumb. Like, guys going on and won, Super Bowl, gone to another one. I just don't think that you play great teams, right? Like in 2019, right? The Ravens beat the 49ers in the regular season, who went to the Super Bowl. Like, they were good enough in 2019 to go win the Super Bowl. They just played a bad game. And heck, that happens sometimes. And the unfortunate thing is that the Ravens have played their worst game 3 years in a row in the playoffs, right? And in part because they've gotten their butt kicked up front, which has thrown off the running game, which is the bread and butter that the offense needs to run on, right? And so when that's been shut down, the passing offense hasn't been consistently good enough to make up for it. And that's been the problem, right? And then you throw in the wind, in Buffalo, and that really threw off the Ravens offense. Some big plays against the Ravens defense against Tennessee in 2019 didn't help things either. You know, they kind of started to rally, but the defense gave up some big ones, and you had two fourth down stops, fourth and one. Anyway, there's like so many different factors, but are the Ravens good enough to win it all? Hell yeah, they are. Hell yeah. Like, I don't think there's any big problem that is preventing them from getting over the hump. They have the talent to do it. It's just a matter of making those plays in clutch time and not whatever, being more consistent when your running game struggles, being able to make up for it with your passing game, being a little more well-rounded. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I am with you on the notion that the Ravens are good enough to win it all. I think that, 2 years ago, they were the best team in the league in the regular season. But I also do think that playoff football has differences to it. And I don't think you can just look at games and say, well, they just played bad games on that day, oh, we hope that it's they play a, they don't do that again. That next year they don't have a bad game in the playoffs. You know, but just fingers crossed that that doesn't happen again. Like, I think that there is something to be said for playoff football being different. And I mean, I think players have talked about it. Like, I think in 2019, that season just went so well and they were so good and they were blowing everybody out. And then all of a sudden you get to that game and you struggle. And I think that everyone was kind of just stunned that they were in that position. And there were a lot of guys on that team who hadn't won a playoff game, hadn't been in that situation before. Then I thought that they benefited from that last year. I thought that, like, all of that, you know, the loss to Tennessee the year before, all of that I thought benefited them when they beat Tennessee this year. Like, I do think that they learned from that experience and were driven, motivated, all that by that experience. Mm-hmm. So, but, like, when I look at what the Ravens have done over the course of the offseason, we've seen deficiencies in the passing game in the past few years. So what did the Ravens do? They made significant investments. They took two receivers in the draft. They drafted another first-round receiver. They added Sammy Watkins. They got two new receivers coaches. Like, they, Lamar has continued to try to work and develop. They're like, they are looking at that scenario that they said, we need to improve if we're going to win it all. And they've attacked it. So, like, I think that they've made the strides in that area. And will they win it all as a result of that? Like, I don't know. That is your point. Like, but I think that they have located areas where they need to improve in order to win it all.
But I don't think any of those are specifically to, like, the playoffs. I mean, I guess you could say, like, Sammy Watkins has made plays in the playoffs. He's been playoff Sammy. And so, like, part of that signing is to help you make those clutch plays in the playoffs, I guess you could say. I just think it's all it's about is building the best team you can and then getting to the dance. And you get to the dance, who the heck knows what's going to happen. You're right. Like, I mean, the one I always say is, like, the 2012 Ravens were not as good as the 2011 Ravens, but they won it all. Right. And, like, some of it is, like, just good bounces. I mean, the Mile High Miracle, that ain't, you know, that doesn't happen too often. And so, like, there's just, I just think that you can't, like, worry about this, like, playoff hump and, like, building a team to, like, win in the playoffs. You just build the best team and you win and you hope to win the best game, the most games, and build a team that's going to win a lot of games, you know, and then we'll see.
Yeah, I think that also the hump changes. Last year, the hump was win a playoff game. Well, then the Ravens won a playoff game, which I thought was a really significant thing. Like, I do think that if they had gone 0-3 in Lamar's career in the playoffs, I think that stuff builds. Like, you see that in other sports. You see it in basketball. You see it in golf. Well, this guy's never won a major. This guy. And so, like, that happens at times. And then I think that the hump, the monkey on your back, whatever analogy you want to use, like, it just becomes consuming and then it gets in guys' heads and all of that. But I thought the Ravens took a big step last year by winning a playoff game. So, like, that was getting over that hump. Now it changes. Now it's, can you get to a Super Bowl? Can you win a Super Bowl? Of course. Mm-hmm. To me, I think that the biggest thing is you got to be better than Kansas City. Like,
Right, that's the toughest part. There's some other really good teams. I mean, Kansas City is just tough to beat, and they're going to be tough to beat for as long as Patrick Mahomes is playing there. I mean, goodness gracious, that Monday Night Football game, it was just like, how do you beat this guy? Right. It was unreal.
Right.
So, you know, and then you have the Bills. There's a lot of really good teams with really good young quarterbacks now. You have Josh Allen in Buffalo, who looks very legit. I mean, the Browns, you know, whatever you think of Baker, I think he's pretty good. Is he the best quarterback? No, but I think he's pretty good, and they have a lot of talent around him too, you know, and they seem to have righted the ship. Like, they draft well every year. They're a good team, and they're going to continue to be a good team. You know, I mean,
the Titans add Julio Jones and AJ Brown. That's going to be a problem.
Exactly. I mean, the Patriots, like, right now they're trying to figure out the quarterback situation, but it's the Patriots and Bill Belichick. I'm not going to write them off every year, you know. And the Chargers, Justin Herbert, you know, they have talented players too. So there's a lot of really good teams with quarterbacks in place to compete for a long time. And luckily the Ravens are one of them, you know, speaking to the other part of the question about the window, the Ravens are one of them. Now, I would have loved for the Ravens to have already won a Super Bowl one of these past couple years with Lamar Jackson on his rookie contract. The closer he gets to that big time extension, and whenever that big number hits, you know, the first couple years of that contract, he might still have a small salary cap number, but eventually you're going to pay, you know, Lamar Jackson's going to be eating up a huge part of the salary cap, and then it does become harder, you know, and that playoff window starts to crunch down a little bit. So I look at the Ravens playoff window through the lens of Lamar Jackson's contract. Mm-hmm. And to me, I think you probably have another good 3 years where Lamar's not going to just be, you know, costing you $30 million that year or whatever, where you can still have good pieces around him, like a Sammy Watkins, like the Ravens signed this year, stuff like that, and help, you know, they have Calais Campbell, for example, you know, on this roster who has a big number.
Yep.
So I think that you probably have a good 3 years and then it's going to become harder. You're still going to have Lamar Jackson, who's going to put you in every game, I think, and still, you know, make the Ravens a great team, and they'll figure out other solutions and whatnot. But it's going to get harder after Lamar starts eating up a big chunk of that salary.
Yeah, the margin for error becomes smaller.
Yeah.
And the way that you can continue to win after you're paying a quarterback is you just have to draft incredibly well. Like, that's basically exactly what has to happen.
That's been the Ravens' MO, you know, since the beginning, but you can't miss.
Yeah, you can't miss. You can't have misses, you know, like, to your point. It would be tougher to have, if Lamar was making $40 million, it would be tougher to have both Marlon Humphrey and Marcus Peters on the team. You know, you can't pay two corners necessarily, and Ronnie Stanley. Like, those things are tougher to come by when you're paying your quarterback. So you got to load up with young, affordable talent. So,
yep. All right. Barbecue draft time?
Yes. Lots of emails.
This guy who just emailed, who we just read his question from Belgium. Go ahead. He's like the only one that thinks you won.
One of the many people. Well, all right. Just real quick, I'll just run back through what we ended up with, because if someone didn't listen or you forgot, here's just a quick refresher. Mink ended up with burger, sausage brat. That's the same item. Burger, sausage brat, potato salad, baked beans, grilled veggie kebab, and fruit salad. I ended up with
so good
hot dog, mac and cheese, corn on the cob, watermelon, collard greens, and coleslaw for a clear victory. And so let's get to this email from Elliot. The first part of his email said, first of all, amazing guests, great insights, incredible drafts. In my eyes, the barbecue draft was easily won by Garrett. The hot dog / corn on the cob combo is a winner every time. I'm a big Ravens fan from Belgium. So as you guys know,
from Belgium,
pretty good.
So
Belgian
he knows
soccer.
Nothing about an American cookout is what you're saying. I mean, look, I love Belgian beers, mm-hmm. but you got to stay in your lane, buddy.
No.
All right. We'll get some chocolate, some waffles, some beers. I'm down with that. But don't be lecturing me on a 4th of July cookout, my friend.
Well, here's the thing. Elliot, the victory here for me from Elliot clearly is just a sign that not only am I a nationwide success, I'm a global success. And this draft
is
another example.
That's one way to spin it.
A global victory for me. It's like when, you know, the world champion, not just the national champion, world champions. Thank you very much, Elliot. Also, I will say this. You did get some wins. I'll give you one here. Here's
two wins.
You got some wins. You got some wins. There was a lot of issues with the items.
Yes.
In the draft.
Yes.
I think is legit. I will say. So here's one. This is from Eric Vows, who did give you the victory. Eric gave you the victory. He said, but I must admit my deep disappointment with the barbecue draft. There are no winners this round for the primary reason. And he says he lives in Texas now, which is barbecue country. There was no barbecue at your barbecue.
At the barbecue.
No smoked brisket, no smoked pork butt, no smoked bird, no ribs. It's not a barbecue. Period.
That's fair. We should have called it a cookout.
Yeah.
It was really a cookout draft.
What you described
barbecue is the wrong
is a cookout draft.
Yes. Yes.
So
that's fair.
I think that's fair. There's been a lot of criticism on that front, and I will say I get it. I get it.
And no crabs. Somebody else called us out for no crabs.
Yeah.
I mean, let's be honest. The crabs, I mean, if we're talking crabs, that's top pick. Clearly.
Sure.
Well, you probably don't think so, Mr. Ohio. You probably don't even think so.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Admit it.
I mean,
admit it. Would you have taken crabs at the top pick?
No, crabs would not be the top pick. The crab video
of our... This is a Baltimore Ravens podcast, and you're not going to take crabs at the top pick? Oh, you're digging your own grave. Wow.
You're not going to try to take me down with items that weren't even... This hypothetical draft that isn't even in the draft.
I won the real draft and the hypothetical. I won the rewind.
Wow. So, another good point here that I think needs to be pointed out. This is from Aris. Aris writes, the 4th of July draft was the most inconsistent one that you've ever done.
Hey, why don't you start reading the emails where they all say I won?
I just gave you one. It was our guy Eric that said he.
Yeah, but you glossed over it. You glossed over it and went to the barbecue part.
Yeah,
how about we get to Chris Stackhouse?
Yeah, huh? So Eris. Now we're gonna read Eris's here because this is actually I think more accurate. Good and bad picks, one after another from both of you. I'm leaning towards Garrett. Okay, so leaning towards me, but he's going to have to say,
so self-serving.
This is your first true tie. Tie.
Would you stop reading the old?
I mean, leaning towards me, this... so you get a tie. You get a tie. That's the best.
All right, here's Chris Stackhouse. Just finished listening to the barbecue draft while driving, and I felt compelled to pull over and commend Mink on the flawless, outstanding draft. Hamburgers and sausages? It was over from that point on. Couldn't agree more. That was just the slam dunk right off top. You were dead on arrival. Dead on arrival. Let's see here. Hold on.
No, look. Here's a good point. And I think.
Yeah. Here's my guy Rodney, because he had only three meat products in the draft.
Yeah.
And Mink took two of them hands down. Mink won the draft.
Yeah. So
not even close. He says.
Rodney Smith from White Marsh. I think that's a really good point that he makes up, which is. The draft was basically stacked in the direction of whoever had first pick because there was only
you should
three
have won rock
choices.
Paper scissors. You should have won rock paper scissors now, shouldn't you?
There's only three meat choices, which didn't think about at the time, but I think that's a fantastic point. Is the fact that it's even a conversation that and the conversation is mostly a victory for me, but the fact that I had a shot to win with the second pick. And you got two of the meat choices just shows you how stellar of a drafter I am. I'm finding the Matthew Judons from Grand Valley State in the fifth round. That's the type of deep diving that I'm doing for this draft because the deck was stacked against me.
No. All right, let's bring in an expert here, okay? The final say. This is the final judge, okay? And this is our boss, Michelle Andres. Let's bring her in. All right, Michelle. You know, you are not one to spare any feelings or beat around the bush, and we don't want you to do that here. Okay, we're grown men. We can take it.
Mink can take a loss. What he's saying is Mink can take a loss. He's done it many, many times, and he's ready to do so once again here today.
I'm ready to get off the schneid right here.
Okay. All right.
You hold the final vote.
As always. Yes. All right. Well, I'd like to just say a few things first. First, I laughed out loud several times in the description of baked beans. I will not repeat that here, though.
Bring in the entertainment.
So I went through and I put check or X next to each thing that you all had on your lists. And drum roll.
Ooh, here we go.
The person with the fewest X's was Ryan Mink.
Oh, woo! No.
Now
let me review
Boom. For you what my X's Boom. Were. My X's were brats.
Wait, that an X is bad?
It is. Yes. Wait, my X was grilled veggie kebabs.
What? How did I win this? Wow, Garrett's got a bunch of stinkers.
Garrett's got a bunch of stinkers. X's were mac and cheese.
What? I mean, that's on you.
No.
That's on you.
Collard greens.
Oh, no.
And well, I put an X by coleslaw, but I guess it really isn't.
Oh, we're just hearing the
well,
live
no. See, here's the thing.
Turn of
here's
events.
The thing on coleslaw. Coleslaw is good with pulled pork. Without pulled pork, it's trash.
Here's the thing.
It has no spice on my plate.
The thing is, well, yeah. At the end of the day, I feel as though Mink, your choices were stronger.
Yes.
Not to say, Garrett, Amen. That some of the things on your list weren't solid as well, but collard greens was definitely a miss.
Oh, that was a low point.
Yeah, it was pretty.
that was like my second to last pick. That was my second to last pick.
Yeah. That's true. That's a good point.
Someone has to end up with it.
Then I do agree. I agree with Mink that mac and cheese is not really great for a barbecue. It's great. Don't get me wrong. It's wonderful, but it's not great for a barbecue. Whereas potato salad and baked beans are like classic.
No, yes. Mac and cheese.
Yes.
Classic.
See, that's the other thing in thinking it over more too, is you've really got a timer on your plate. Many of your items have to be piping hot to be good. Mac and cheese, corn on the cob, cold corn on the cob sucks.
Yeah, but
okay? The butter doesn't melt on there. It's just like goopy. It's terrible. If your plate, like, you're going to have to scarf in like 2 minutes to make anything worthwhile.
Well, first of all, that's how I eat. I eat my plate in 2 minutes. So that's all I care about. Second of all, like with yours, with the potato salad, the same thing goes. If that sits outside in the sun for an hour, it's ruined.
Well, yeah, an hour. It's ruined. That's different. It's that's ruined. Different
well,
than
just,
a
let's
minute.
Let's just assume that all of the food is in the shade. Okay.
Yeah, it's in the shade.
Now, I have to say that I feel as though this win for Mink is deserved and particularly special because he typically loses.
Yes, this is the first. This is a momentous occasion on the lounge. This is as close as Mink has come, even though I'm not conceding, but this is as close as he's ever going to get to a victory.
Can we ask our producer, do we have a laugh track or a clapping? Clapping, can we add here?
A nice sound effect.
Well, thank you, Michelle. I appreciate the formal win.
You're welcome. Enjoy it.
So it's official. It's a tie. It's a tie.
All right. Well, you all can still weigh in at thelounge@ravens.nfl.net. We're going to have some more good guests in the weeks coming. It's still slow, but we're going to try to bring in a salary cap expert to talk about Lamar Jackson's contract and all the different ramifications of that. And we've got more coals in the fire. We're trying to knock on some players' doors. So stay tuned with us next week. We'll be back.